A somewhat different noise with that, really. Yeah, a little bit. Oh, I gotta put the power on. Oh, God. It's new. I don't know what's not happening. Hang on. There it is.
I'm rolling my eyes at you.
Of space.
I was going to accuse you of picking a song with a long instrumental intro, but I suspect that was the entire
that
song.
That is the entire song. Why don't you explain? Well, you just introduction us.
Fine. Welcome to Linoleum Knife, a podcast of the cinema. I'm Alonzo Duraldi, film critic for TheWrap.com and What the Flick, and joining me on the sixes and sevens is Dave White of Movies.com.
I prefer to be known as Ambient Dave from now on.
Ambient Dave, maybe. Mm. You invoke amnesia.
I'm feeling really new age lately, and so I'm now Ambient Dave.
Okay. Wall of keyboards.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain this exciting new development about
the there's an exciting new development because we just didn't get to the pawn shop in time. We went a couple times and it closed, and then, you know, like, you get busy during the week, you know. And we kept not getting it. We kept not going to find the new tape player.
When are pawn shops open? I always thought, like,
in the night.
I guess. I always thought people were desperate 24/7. People, I don't know why.
It's... Night people need money.
I see.
For various night activities.
For paying the VIG.
Yeah. Don't you remember Black Nativity? When the kid goes into the pawn shop, wants to get the gun from Tyrese. Yeah, wants to get the gun.
But the pawn shop closes at like 6, you'll recall.
I know, but he's got to get the gun. But then it's open again.
No, because Tyrese, DL opens it for him.
Again, in the night.
Right, but during the day is when they're actually open. And every time we went to a pawn shop during the day, it was never open.
My point exactly.
Black Nativity lies.
So then, an amazing person decided to take it upon himself to go to pawn shops on our behalf. And here's what he told me.
I think it was just to never have to hear us sing again.
Here's what the friend told me. I couldn't find one that was open. And I said, I know!
L.A. pawn shops. L.A. pawn shops.
Yeah. And so...
Vegas, I bet you they're open all the time.
So then this friend did a crazy thing. This person, this incredibly generous, crazy person that I know.
And friend of the show.
And friend of the show. And personal friend, actually, of ours. Bought us a brand new Sony brand tape player.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sony still makes these.
Bless them.
And, like, he just went to Amazon and got, he just bought it off of Amazon. I wonder how much they cost on it. What are these, like, $7?
Gosh, if only there was some way to find out how much something costs on Amazon, Dave Weiss. Let's hire a private detective.
Like, I'm just thinking, okay, so Sony keeps making cassette players. But other than weird people.
Old people like us who still have cassettes.
Is this for old, like, this is for old people, do you think?
I think so.
This is what I would have gotten my mom.
I'd say this has bedside at the nursing home written all over it.
You're right, actually.
Cassettes, CD.
It does have a very large button that says power on it.
You still managed to not press before we saw it. This is kind
of the jitterbug of, audio systems. Super grateful, extremely happy, I spent the morning doing the dishes in the kitchen where it's going to live, where like the old one lived.
Of course.
And I listened to this cassette in its entirety because I had only listened to the first half of it. This is the cassette that our other great listener, Dinah Moxie, sent to us.
Yes.
And she put a nice Aphex Twin song on the beginning of side two, which I had not yet heard.
I see.
And then, and here's what's great about this cassette. None of the songs, she's written like 4 pages of liner notes.
There's footnotes in there, I think.
And yet, okay, none of the tracks have titles or artists written on them. It's all just like commentary. It's just every song is a surprise.
I see.
And then
you find out about her personal relationship to each song. Okay.
It's terrific.
Why not?
And so that I instantly knew that was Aphex Twin.
Thank you, Dinah Moxie.
Because I think everyone understands that I'm a next level music bro.
Because you keep telling them you are. There's no avoiding it.
And we have a new tape player, y'all.
Woo!
It is not a Radio Raheem.
No.
Boombox.
No.
And yet, I do not care.
Exactly.
And you know why?
Because it was an audio program.
Because it was free.
And it was free.
And it was a lovely gift from a devoted friend and listener.
Yes. Thank you. Person who knows who he is.
Linoleum Knife, the podcast.
Yes.
Now we are to talk about films.
Hurrah.
There were some films that came out this week.
Only
one of them is serious fun. None of them are good. Well, no.
I saw one.
Talk about the good one. Let's just kick the good one right out of the gate.
Sure.
Talk about the good one.
Elaine Stritch, Shoot Me, which opened in limited release and might be on demand because it's Sundance.
Already?
It's Sundance Select, so it might be on demand.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Y'all go look
that
up.
By the way.
After you go look up who Elaine Stritch is,
yes.
You go look up if it's on demand.
Here's a handy thing that I have discovered, and if you don't know about this already, you should. There is a website called canistream.it.
Really?
Can I Stream It? And
That's nice.
Yeah, and you can look up movies and TV shows, and it will tell you where is it streaming, where can you rent it, where can you buy it, as a digital file.
What a good website that is.
It is super handy.
I don't know anything about this.
I've actually been using it lately. In fact, I used it to pick my DVD pick for this week because the DVD is sort of out of print, but apparently you can still stream it. So
that's, you know about all the good URLs.
My cousin's really into the internet.
And so
it's a Degrassi shout out.
No, 90210, dummy.
No, it was Degrassi.
This is also from the 90210.
No.
No. They were talking about, yeah.
No, it was Degrassi.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I don't know that you're telling me the truth.
Get Aaron on the phone. This is where it came from.
It came from some dorky high school television show.
And Drake was part of this conversation, funnily enough. I think he's the one who says, where'd you get those URLs? And it's, now I'm blanking. The JT's nerdy friend who always got a short shrift on this show.
The one with the glasses.
Did he
date Liberty eventually?
No, JT did.
Okay,
and JT knocked her Liberty. Up.
Oh, all right. And then they kicked her off the show.
She went off to college and then just sort of ghosted.
Goes away, yeah. That's what happens to all the kids on that show.
Basically.
They wind up just disappearing. Yeah,
they go to university, eh?
Right.
By the way, if you guys are not watching Kroll Show on Comedy Central, it is generally hilarious, but especially because they do a really funny Degrassi parody called Wheels Ontario.
And Paige is on it.
And Paige from Degrassi is on it, which is genius.
All right, so keep talking about Elaine Stritch.
Oh, right, yes, anyway.
Quit losing the topic
Toby,
thread.
Toby is the guy on Degrassi who says, my cousin's really into the internet. Elaine Stritch, Shoot Me is a documentary about Broadway legend Elaine Stritch. You know her if as nothing else than as Jack Donaghy's mother on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
She won an Emmy for that performance and I think got 3 additional nominations. But she is one of those sort of like theater legends, like, you know, Noel Coward wrote a show around her.
Yes.
And, you know, the role of Joanne in Company was written for her. You know, she introduced Ladies Who Lunch. She was in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. You know, she's in Woody Allen's September. She's just this amazing, you know, veteran of the stage who is still alive and kicking at, you know, I think when they're making the documentary, she's like 87 and still doing a one woman, you know, Sondheim review at, you know,
and now she's like
club in New York
80-13 or something, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, and she's, you know, she's a character, you know, she's a tough broad and very gravelly voice and, you know, does not suffer fools. And
she drinks.
And she shouldn't, because she's a recovering alcoholic and fighting diabetes. But she insists that she gets to have a cocktail a day. She just she very brilliantly made headlines for her small release documentary this week by dropping an F-bomb on Hoda and
on the Today Show.
And Kathy Lee. And yeah, she's awesome.
And they deserve it.
Basically.
Yeah.
She's awesome, and it's fun to watch her be her and to do her stuff. You know, I said in my review on the wrap that the movie kind of follows the formula that we've gotten now from the Joan Rivers documentary from a few years back, a piece of work,
right,
where, you know, there's some sort of archival look at all the amazing things that she's done and places, people she's worked with and, you know, places she's been, blah, blah, blah. And a look at her go now, still a tireless dynamo, you know. The Carol Channing doc from a few years ago, yes, kind of fits that mold too. Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's...
Old lady documentaries.
Old lady documentaries.
Not documentaries for old ladies.
But about them.
About them.
About old ladies for younger gay men.
Kind of, yeah.
But there, yeah, I found it really interesting. I love that they threw in the clip from the great D.A. Pennebaker documentary of the where he captured the recording of the Company original cast album. And
I've seen that.
Yes, I sat you down to watch that one. And so late in the night, they were going to record this thing like in one day, which I think is unheard of now.
you do a show in 3 hours, you can record a record in a day.
But you don't do multiple takes when you do a show. So late in the recording session, they get to her doing Ladies Who Lunch, and her voice is kind of given out, and she's just sort of shouting it, and she's really disappointed with the playback. She's like, "I'm just screaming now!" And then you hear her hear herself hit some note, and she just yells out, "Wrong!" There's a really, it's on Funny or Die. There's a really great Big Gay Sketch Show sketch where Nicole Payone is doing Elaine Stritch working as a Walmart greeter.
Right.
And all she does is, like, tell stories about, you know, Noel Coward, and you know, people will come in and say something, and she'll go, "Wrong! I'm just screaming now!" And, like, at one point, her accompanist wheels in on a rascal and plays the piano for her. It's a funny sketch. Anyway, so yeah, Elaine Stritch, shoot me. If you like that sort of thing, you will like this sort of thing.
Well, that sort of thing being Elaine Stritch.
Not just necessarily Elaine Stritch specifically, but kind of showbiz history and, you know, ironclad women of a certain age, you know, who are still going out there and strutting their stuff for 8 shows a week, you know.
There's a great James Gandolfini moment. In the documentary.
Yeah, the film is dedicated to him.
Where he talks about how if she were younger, they would have had some sort of
a torrid affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talks about, like, at the Sopranos premiere, like, he goes, you know, this lady behind me, you know, says something like, "You're very good." And I said, "Oh, well, thank you." And turned away. And then I hear her yell, "Don't you condescend to me."
That's going to be what I say to you from now on. Don't you condescend to me. Yeah,
too late.
I'm going to say it to make up for the 18 years of you condescending to me. What else did you see, Alonzo, that no one else has seen this week? In Secret.
Oh, in Secret.
So, that's what you saw.
There's a movie I forget that I saw.
We're making you wait for the Pompeii.
Yeah.
And the 3 Days to Kill. We're talking about the indie things right now.
Yes. Okay, so
just chill out and relax. We'll get to the we'll get to the big hashtagging things in a minute.
In Secret is an adaptation of Emile Zola's novel Thérèse Racan, about a passionate young woman who is forced into marriage to her sickly cousin and then later has a torrid affair with one of his best friends. And then she and her lover decide they're going to murder her husband. And you know, the book is influential and a big deal. And again, in my review, when I talked about it, I sort of...
Where did you review it?
At the Rap Duck.
Oh, it wasn't for our site. It was for the
Rap. Yeah, for the Rap. Okay. Yeah. I did write an About Last Night review for linoleum-knife.com. So if you haven't...
Where you should go and read it.
If you haven't been by lately, check it out. We do. We're trying to update more.
Don't apologize.
Don't
apologize.
Look, it's been a busy week for us. We gave you an extra episode.
Do not apologize. Here's what you're doing. I'm going to tell you what you're doing right now.
Okay, what's that?
Back in the 90s, mm-hmm. when people did zines, everybody would put out a zine, issue one.
Right.
Then 9 months later would come issue two.
And the preface was always, I'm sorry.
And the preface was always, I'm sorry I didn't get this one. And I swear I read that introduction to so many zines so many times, over and over and over, and I thought, who cares? Who cares how long it takes between your zine? No one cares.
Well,
so that when I
got around to issue two
of my zine,
mm-hmm.
I didn't apologize. You know why? They were lucky to get my zine. As garbagey as it turned out to be, and as embarrassing an example of my early writing skill as it is now, still, they were lucky to get it.
We have delivered quite a bit of content this week, though. We had an extra episode.
We were content providing for the internet.
We had an extra episode with Matt Seitz. We appeared on the Lunch Podcast with James Rocky to talk in depth about RoboCop.
I haven't even linked to that yet onto the internet.
What are you possibly waiting for?
You know, a moment between all of my other great posts and quips and, you know, photo postings and... Yeah,
RoboCop is dying on the vine. Get on it.
I gotta space out these things. I can't overstay my welcome on the internet.
Mm.
People don't want me to... Nobody wants anyone to post every hour.
I probably overpost. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
You do. You post all those politics things.
Mm. Yeah.
Why?
Because I am a citizen of this planet, and I care.
You know, I care. I want to also increase the environment, just
exactly.
like you.
I'm all about increasing the environment. Okay, In Secret. When I reviewed it for therap.com, I pointed out, you know, last year when John Carter came out, the big selling point was, this is the novel that inspired Star Wars and Superman, and now finally we're getting around to filming it 100 years later. And then you see the movie and you're like, wow, this sure reminds me of Star Wars and Superman. I mean, like, yes, the original source material was inspirational, but because it inspired so much stuff, by the time they get around to making the movie of that original source material, it feels played out, not... It's not the source material's fault. It's just the rest of the culture kind of, you know, lapped it. Same deal with Thérèse Racan, which I'm sure was, you know, scandalous and shocking at the time that it came out. And now it's the plot of every noir film ever.
Right.
You know, let's kill my husband.
Right.
And it is, this movie is made with no attempt to find some new way of conveying that, of some sort of twist or point of view or anything. It's just straight up, here's what happens in the book.
And it's a period piece.
All
right.
And
Did you say who was in it yet?
Yeah, I'm about to. It stars Elizabeth Olsen, who I thought was terrific in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Not so good here.
Really?
Yeah, I think that maybe...
Well, you just wait till Godzilla.
Well, there you go.
That she's gonna lay it down.
I think based on just this handful of things I've seen her in, I think she's better at playing somebody who is hiding something than playing somebody who is wearing their heart on their sleeve.
Yeah.
I found her not particularly compelling. Oscar Isaac is the lover. He's fine.
Uh-huh.
He's all right. He's definitely enjoying playing, you know, Loosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a cad. The sickly husband is Tom Felton from the Harry Potter movies.
And, oh, he's Planet of the Apes. Draco
Malfoy.
Malfoy, yeah.
Then his domineering mother is played by Jessica Lange. And
again, with the period, the period stories and the non-period faces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, actor-wise,
I knew what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Absolutely. That is totally it. I mean, dramatically, she understands this character. She's playing it well. I think she's a terrific actress. But you cannot give yourself an aggressively 21st century face and then play a 19th century woman.
Yeah.
It's like she might as well be wearing a camel pack or something. Like something crazily modern, because it just takes you out of it every time she appears on screen. You're just looking at how contemporary her visage is, and it takes away from the work.
Thanks, doctors.
Yes. You know, it's like, fine, play a 21st century, you know, supreme witch. You know, that's...
Right.
Play anything modern you want, but you can't take that face into
period. When you have a technology face...
Yes.
You can't go back.
A science face.
You can't go back.
She was in the science oven, and now...
She put her face in the science oven, and then, now she got science face.
Exactly. There are some... This is one of those movies where, okay, so it's France, so everybody's going to have a British accent.
Yeah.
Which at least offers the opportunity for... There's a great little coterie of oddball character actors. Shirley Henderson and Matt Lucas.
Yes.
And Mackenzie Crook.
Okay.
So, like, they're kind of fun to watch.
Well, yeah.
They kind of pop up for card games and, you know, to
right.
witness things or not witness things as the thing goes along. But it's pretty much a slog.
And we should say, getting back to Jessica Lange's face.
Yes.
I think it's important that each time we talk about this, we sort of reiterate our feelings
we
on this matter.
We're not about mocking people's appearance. We're not about saying that women, actresses who feel whatever pressures to adapt their looks to what they think casting directors want,
yes.
are certainly entitled to do so, and it is the system that is corrupt that doesn't allow them to age naturally. It's not their fault. They are the victims of a male-run patriarchal film industry that has unrealistic expectations regarding youth and beauty.
Having said that,
if you choose to go down that path, it ruins you for period pieces.
It does. Renee Zellweger in that George Hamilton's mother movie, where it was like the '50s, and she was sort of like the mom taking the kids off on these like this cross country adventure, and you know she's fine in the movie. I kept looking at her going, lady.
That ain't no 50s.
That's not how that looked back then. No one looked like that then.
No.
And so it becomes a nonstop distraction.
Yeah. It's the wristwatch under the toga.
Exactly. All right. Togas.
Speaking of togas.
That's a nice segue.
Thank you. Totally accidental.
Pompeii.
Which reminds me how our late friend Angelines used to refer to her bottom as her pumpy. I don't know why.
She did?
Yes.
Why not? And the reason I don't really know this is because I never understood anything she ever said. Except for the day that we were... Okay, so let me... I'll get everybody...
Up to speed, okay.
So Angelines, who recently passed...
Yes.
Old family friend of the Duraldes.
Right.
Always there. When we would go visit, there she was with her husband.
Right. They lived in Macon, Georgia. Yeah. So it was a quick drive up to Atlanta for holidays and stuff.
And she was a character. Like, she had no fear of speaking English. It was just... that her execution was frequently difficult to understand.
Yeah,
I don't know how many years she lived in the States after moving there from Spain, but it didn't take. I found her kind of delightful, in spite of the fact that she was a total homophobe.
And when I was a child, she was a blast. It was only later that it, you know.
And my very favorite moment about my very favorite moment of hers was the day that we all had waffles for breakfast, and she yelled to her husband to please come eat your muffle.
Yes.
She couldn't tear him away from the television, like the golf show that was on or whatever it was. She's like, eat you muffle.
He's muy delicious.
He's muy delicious. So she was great. Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, so I just remember, like, she would refer to her bottom, her derriere, as her pumpy. I don't know what kind of, I don't even know if that's something out of Spanish that got translated. Really?
Pumpy?
Yeah.
Bumpy?
Bumpy, yeah.
Hmm.
No idea.
Anybody who speaks Spanish from Spain, if you know that as a slang word.
I don't even think they could translate that one. And actually, there's like a Roman general named Pompey, wasn't there? Anyway.
But now there's a movie called Pompey.
Now there's a movie called Pompey. Or as our friend Sam posted on Facebook, it's the sequel to Pompa.
I wish that our dear friend Leonard Maltin had not already come up with the best alternative title to this film already.
Which was?
Well, when Irwin Allen released When Time Ran Out, which was a volcano movie in 1980.
The movie that effectively ended his big screen career.
Yeah. Mr. Maltin referred to it as the Blubbering Inferno.
And that's what you call this one?
And that is so great and so brilliant, it needs to be revived. This film is the Blubbering Inferno. Now, having said that, I had a blast. I had such a good time watching this cheeseburger.
Maybe if I had seen it with you, I would have had a better time. I was just sort of gritting my teeth. Because it's basically, it's a little bit of Conan the Barbarian, a little bit of Gladiator, a lot of Titanic, and a lot of lava.
Endless lava.
Endless lava. Hashtag endless lava. And so,
well,
yeah.
It's a long shot. It's about a poor boy who's a slave.
Yes.
And a rich girl whose parents own Pompeii.
Are real estate agents?
I don't understand exactly what their situation is.
I'm going to sell this Colosseum.
The mayor, he's like Jared Harris is the mayor or the, just the richest, like they, I think they just own the town.
I like
her parents live in the villa, and everyone knows it. And, and she is
it's very schmancy.
She's the, you know, m'lady. Like they are the Downton Abbey family of Pompeii,
right?
And this is Emily Browning from Sucker Punch, and many other not good films.
Who hasn't become any better of an actress since Sucker Punch?
I don't know if she's had much opportunity. She's been in nothing but crap. So.
I should have gone to acting school. That seems clear.
We have a tape player now. You don't have to sing anymore.
Sorry, the Elaine Stritch movie had me watching all these different versions of I'm Still Here on YouTube this week.
Okay, so Carrie Ann Moss and her dad, Jared Harris.
And her mom, Carrie Ann Moss?
I said that. Oh, I just said Carrie Ann Moss.
Oh, sorry. Well, you said in her dad, Jared Harris, but Carrie Ann Moss... Okay, I get it now. Sorry. I'm a beat behind. I'm now
Do
falling.
Shut up!
Go on.
Carrie Ann Moss and Jared Harris are her parents.
Yes.
Here comes Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. He's the slave dude.
Also a horse whisperer.
He's such a good horse whisperer. He doesn't even have to whisper. He just stares at the horse... with those sex eyes and that kitten face of his.
That's what kid is short for.
And the horse, I know. His full name.
Kitten Face Harrington.
Kitten Face Harrington.
Not to be confused with Zac Efron, who has a face like a basket of kittens.
Right. He, along the way, he's being slaved across down the road.
Right.
And here comes...
well, because Kiefer Sutherland killed his village.
Here comes Lady Sucker Punch.
Right.
And she's in a carriage. Mm-hmm. And the wheel gets stuck in a pit in the mud. And the horse falls and breaks all of its horse bones.
Right.
And the horse is upset and broken.
Yes.
They snapped it in half. But it's not dead. Mm-hmm. So Kitten Face comes up and says, I can help. And he goes, shh, little horsey, shh, shh, and then crack, snaps the horse's neck, kills it. Humanely.
Mm-hmm. Efficiently.
When you break all your horse bones, that's really all they do to you.
Right.
They put you out.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the movie Dreamer and Dakota Fanning nurses you back to health, which happened.
I've always
Fanning really nursed a horse back to health, and that horse ran in a race, and it won, and I cried.
I need to see that movie. I've always wondered the whole thing, like a horse with a broken leg getting shot or whatever. Like, really? Yeah. You can't, there's no horse splint? Like, there's no fixing it?
The Dakota Fanning perfected a veterinary technique to fix a horse's leg and turn it into a champion. Mm. It's known as the Dreamer technique.
There aren't enough Dakota Fannings to go around. Is that the problem?
Well, child veterinarians are really rare.
Okay.
And in the documentary, Dreamer,
co-starring Kurt Russell,
when Dr. Dakota Fanning set that horse's leg and turned it into a champion racehorse, you know, when she was done, she was already like 17 by the time it was done. Ah. So she started it when she was 11.
Her kid vet powers. Yeah, it
took a long time.
Could Elle Fanning do it?
She failed out of child veterinary school.
Okay. Could you get like an emergency consult from Abigail Breslin if you needed? Or
She never even got in the class.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so he kills
There can be only one Dakota Fanning child veterinarian.
And don't you forget it. Okay, so Kittenface smoothly kills the horse.
Snaps the horse's neck, and Lady sucker punches leg. That was sexy. You sure did kill that horse in an erotic manner. So
here, put on these high heel shoes and step on a baby chick. So I'm into that sort of thing.
So, okay, so then Kiefer Sutherland comes along.
Rumpf, rumpf, rumpf.
And he is Scar from The Lion King.
He is Billy Zane.
He is the bad, bad man.
Yeah.
And he's from Rome, and he is going to help Pompeii, which is, I guess, sort of like a resort town or something.
It's on the sea, I guess.
Yeah. He wants to, you know, own Pompeii. He basically wants to take it away from
Jared Harris.
So he says, look, I've got all these people from Rome who'd love to, you know, give y'all some money to make this happen. But to get it, I need your daughter.
You have to let me marry Lady Sucker Punch.
I gotta bone that daughter. And I'll do it. I'll marry her. But it's going
to
happen.
And he had already been sort of flirting her up in Rome, and that's why she left to get away from his action.
He was a creepster.
And he killed Kittenface's family.
Right.
So you can see where this is all going.
Right. So he's a bad dude. And meanwhile, okay, all this is there's a romance blooming. And there's intrigue blooming. There's bad guy, you know, machinations going down.
Meanwhile, at the Colosseum,
Vesuvius, sitting in the back, just going,
brap,
making little earthquakes happen. People are like, "Whoa, it's an earthquake!" And then the
horses are running around,
and the slave that befriends Kittenface is this guy named Atticus,
right,
played by.
Mr. Mouthful. I tried saying it on What the Flick, and I'm sure I just embarrassed myself.
Yeah. He's like, the mountain is rumbling. Reality is, Vesuvius is sitting back there going, check it out, I'm Vesuvius, I'm going to kill all you guys. Everybody.
Atticus is basically Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, because he's 2 days away from retirement. He has to win one more match, and then Rome will set him free. You're leaving out all the gladiator stuff, by the way. There's gladiator stuff happening.
Right, because Kittenface has to fight gladiator style in the Colosseum for the pleasure of the Pompeians.
Right, and Kiefer Sutherland.
And he is the best fighter.
Yes.
He will kill everyone all at once.
Right.
What you see at the end, the big showdown, is between him and Vesuvius.
Well, yeah.
And
we know who's winning that one.
Because Vesuvius is like, it's great. It's cute that you're all fighting like that. But I will actually kill all of you, not just the bad ones, not the good, not just the ones that are being mean to people. All of you, all going to die. I am Vesuvius.
You are doomed.
If only Vesuvius, honestly, if Paul W.S. Anderson, the bad director of this film,
yes,
I wish that, like on The Mighty Boosh, when the moon would talk, I wish that the volcano would talk. Like, I wish it had a mouth and that it would say things. Be like, I'm still here.
Like the apple tree in The Wizard of Oz.
I'm snacking on something right now, but when I'm done with my snack, everyone's dying.
and they really...
Including you little lovers over there. I know you're sweet and all. You're dying.
They really work.
Everyone's going to die.
They really work the Titanic parallels. Like, not only is it, you know, that he's poor and she's rich and the mean guy wants to marry her, but it's also the, I'ma lock up the poor guy when disaster is about to strike.
Right.
And I'm going to force my way onto a boat even though I don't deserve it. And
right.
It's crazy. I mean, the note cards, they must have been flying while they were watching Titanic again. Yeah, so you had more fun at this than I did. I just found it really not... I like a good cheesy disaster movie, but this was, you know... You have to at least make me care about somebody before you hurl lava at them, and I didn't care about anybody.
I was just happy to see everyone get drowned with melted death rock.
Yes.
My favorite bit is when Kiefer Sutherland says, I think the wedding should be in Rome, him meaning his own to Lady Sucker Punch.
Right.
And then suddenly the volcano goes, boom! as if to say, I think not.
It's like a rim shot, basically, but yeah. To the volcanic
area. And everyone begins fighting and stabbing necks and running and getting melted. And then everybody dies. And the very last thing that happens is the lovers are kissing as the lava engulfs them. Mm-hmm. And then the last shot is them shown like archaeologists. They gave archaeologists a really great moment when they found those two.
Intertwined.
Because this is a true story.
Of course, yes.
Intertwined and making out.
And you just spoiled the ending.
No, history spoiled the ending. Everyone dies in the Pompeii.
Good point.
You can't outrun the Vesuvius. Again, he could kill you. He's a volcano. He's a volcano of virtue. And no one in Pompeii was nice, except for the lovers. They were just collateral damage, you know? Too bad you got in the way. I was really meaning to kill Kiefer Sutherland and the rest of those jerks.
But it's hard to aim this stuff.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sure you were nice. However, I am Vesuvius and my job is to blow up.
Murderize you.
Yeah.
Okay, now you saw 3 Days to Kill. I did not.
Kevin Costner wishes he were Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Neeson is now the old-timey guy who is an action hero.
And next week we'll talk about Nonstop.
Yeah. And so Kevin Costner was sitting in his manse and yelling at people on the phone. Said, get me something like Liam Neeson. You get me a Taken.
Why is that Mick bastard getting all the good roles?
You put me in, I want my own Taken. Make it happen, or I'll fire you all. So it happened. So he's got a movie. Luc Besson. He got Luc Besson on the phone. He was like, what can you do for me, Frenchie? And Luc Besson was like, I'll crap something out. So he did.
Luc Besson produced Taken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Luc Besson crapped out a script with some other guy.
I believe it's his collaborator on From Paris with Love.
Oh, great.
Yes. Yeah. Remember how great that was.
That was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his, he's a CIA hitman. He's got cancer. And he's going to go away from the CIA because he's got like 3 months to live. But then Amber Heard shows up. She's wearing leather pants. She kind of va-va-vooms into her life. Her character's name is Vivi DeLay. This is great. Such a good name.
Why don't they just call her Vivid Lay and be done with it?
And she has a gift box in which she keeps highly stylized syringe. Mm-hmm. In that syringe is magic cancer juice.
Oh.
That will make cancer go away.
How convenient.
She's a scientist.
I'm a jeweler.
And so she's like, look what I have for you, Kevin Costner. By the way, if you want me to shoot the syringe of cancer juice into your buttocks and make the cancer stop, you must do one last job. All caps.
It's always one last job.
And the one last job is to go hunt some terrorists with names like the Wolf and the Albino and the Accountant. And so... meanwhile...
the gym coach.
Kevin Costner, as a lifetime CIA guy, has an estranged wife, Connie Nielsen. To protect his estranged wife and his now estranged teenage daughter, Haley Steinfeld, of True Grit.
Mm-hmm. And Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yes. And Romeo.
Lest we forget.
And 2013's Romeo plus Juliet. He has to take this one job so that he can have a little more time to make them remember him fondly. Mm. He really just wants to make it to Christmas. Stepmom style.
Aha.
And so he takes the job and he goes and he's just killing. But oops, Connie Nielsen's got to leave town. So now he's got to babysit the teenage daughter who doesn't know him very well.
Wah, wah.
And she has a lot of things happening. She's got a boyfriend that Kevin Costner does not approve of.
Of course not.
She wants to make the boyfriend spaghetti, but she doesn't know how to make the sauce, so she's got to contact. She's got to call Kevin Costner in the middle of... he's trying to torture people. He's trying to get people killed and tortured because they're bad.
Right.
But he's got to take the call.
Mm-hmm.
And when she calls, she gave him a ringtone. Her ringtone is that Icona pop song. I don't care. I love it. That song.
Right.
So that's her ringtone. So every time he's in the middle of wasting a bad guy, mm-hmm. the song comes on. And he's like, what do you need, honey?
I drove my car into a bridge.
Yeah. And so he's going to stop and ask the guy he's torturing for a good spaghetti sauce recipe. I'm not making this up.
No, I'm sure you're not.
And he's going to teach her how to ride a bike because she didn't have a father.
Are you kidding me?
Did I just not say I'm not making any of this up? He gets her a purple bike for her, a girl bike.
Right, banana seat?
Yeah, no, it's not, no, but just no bar. That,
oh, yeah, okay.
Which never made sense to me.
No.
Why is that bar there
like
for anyone?
Like that's going to destroy your hymen or something?
Why is that bar there for anybody? If you're a dude and you ram yourself down in that bar, that's not good for you either.
Mm-mm.
I think we all know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But he's going to teach her to ride the bike. He's going to help her make spaghetti sauce. He's got to... He teaches her to dance for the prom. She's going to take her new boyfriend to the prom. He's going to teach her how to dance. He teaches her how to dance to Bread's single Make It With You, which is...
oh, that's not creepy
that's
at
not,
all.
That's not... it was not at all bothersome or uncomfs, as the kids say.
That's like on Arrested Development when they were karaokeing Afternoon Delight and realizing, wait a minute.
The mother boy... was it?
No. It was George Michael. Who's the Jason Bateman character? Is it just Michael?
I don't first remember.
Michael does it with Maybe, and then realizes it's a big mistake, and then later George Michael does it with Portia de Rossi, and she realizes midway through it's a mistake.
So they got to dance. They slow dance to Make It With You.
Ugh.
This is not. It's a delightful and heartwarming moment.
Good.
A little father daughter.
I really think
stuff.
We can make it good.
That's right.
Oh boy.
So here's the problem with this movie. Now,
there's a problem.
So here's one of many problems with this movie. In ascending order.
Okay.
Remember how when we saw Taken, and we just thought it was so great, but at the same time, it was also extremely problematic.
And racist
and xenophobic and everything wrong with America.
Yes.
You know? It turns out That's the only way you really want to have a movie like this be. Because everyone along the way in Kevin Costner's life calls him the cowboy because he's wearing boots and jeans and a sort of like a windbreaker. It's like a windbreaker, like when Fonzie wore the windbreaker in season one of Happy Days. They didn't give him a leather jacket until like season two. He's got this like this leather windbreaker on and one of those decorative scarves, which is not going to keep anyone like warm.
Mufti? What like are we talking about
like
here?
It's just sort of a fashion-y kind of man scarf.
But he used to be a tough hitman. Costner is a CIA agent, badass, with a
fashion-y man scarf. Yeah.
No.
And
that's how you can tell French people made this movie.
I am now referring to this film as Dat Scarf. Because Halle Berry should not get all the action
for Dat Wig.
We will now refer to this as Dat Scarf.
Okay.
So, the problem here is that it actually emasculates the hero.
Well, the scarf already.
And you want the hero to be the badass actual cowboy who comes in and ruins France.
Right.
Even though it's made by French people.
Mm-hmm.
And
McGee.
And Anderson. And no, I'm sorry, not Anderson. McGee and French people.
Yeah.
And it never delivers the full measure of bloodlust that you want. It wants to be kind of half comedy and part heartwarming father daughter bonding film and an action thriller. I didn't have a bad time watching it.
Mm.
I also didn't have a good time watching it.
Well, does it do any of it right?
The killing parts are okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where he saves her, the daughter, from an attack. And that's kind of cool. There's some cool car chase-y kind of moments and stuff like that, but nothing you haven't seen before. It's nothing like outlandishly cool that you could say only in this film is this ever going to... You're only ever going to see this in this movie.
Gotcha.
It's forgettable.
Well, too bad for Costner because he's actually... I liked him a lot in that Jack Ryan movie.
No, he's good in the Jack Ryan movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he could have been good. He could have been the Neeson in this movie.
And,
but the movie didn't want that. The movie wanted something else. And I don't know who wants what it's giving.
His character in Man of Steel was terribly written, but I thought he was okay in it. You
know? No, Costner is fine. I got no problem with Costner.
Gotcha.
I just think that this is just the wrong way to make him, into the next old man action hero.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. Well, he'll try again. Postman 2.
Right. That's what it should be.
There we go. So that's
you know what you guys should do, listeners? You should really buy the Apple commentary that we have recorded. That's what you should do.
Yes.
Perhaps you've never seen the Apple, the 1980 futuristic disco new wave biblical allegory musical from Menachem Golan for Canon Pictures.
Yes.
Maybe you've never seen it. You should see it. It's on Netflix streaming. It's available readily on DVD. It is an anti-masterpiece of terribleness. And we love this film.
Yes.
We've seen it many times. And we've recorded an extra episode of Linoleum Knife that is all about this movie. And you are going to give us $1.99 for the pleasure of listening to it. Buy it, won't you?
And pleasurable it will be.
You just need to email us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, you can PayPal us at that address.
Hang on. I'm explaining to the people what they're supposed to do.
I think you're doing it wrong, but go ahead.
I am explaining it wrong.
Yes.
You just told me the right way to do it.
PayPal us.
$1.99.
Right. To linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. Include your...
Look, you're lucky that I remembered linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
I don't think I wasn't thrilled about that.
Yeah, I know.
Make sure when you PayPal us that $1.99 that you include your email address
That's what I meant to say. Give us your email address
so that we know where to
when
send.
You PayPal us.
So we know where to send the
Linoleum Podcast at gmail.com. Yeah.
Some of you have taken it upon yourself to throw a little extra. That's lovely, but $1.99
but unnecessary.
Is all it costs. And we will soon be, because we're running out of February, we will very soon be recording our next commentary, which will be for the 1985 cult classic comedy mystery, Clue.
That's right.
And we think you'll enjoy that, too.
You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But only after you pay us $1.99.
So that's coming up.
But get on it.
But in the meantime, you can enjoy the Apple, and I think you'll have a lot of fun with that, too.
These free tape players aside, we've got gourmet food to buy. that's every dime, I promise you, every dime that we make from these podcasts
goes to Monsieur Marcel.
Going to the really fancy food store where we will buy high end food items that we will then eat.
Yes, ingredients for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Fat podcasts recipes. Are happy podcasts, and you're the people who are. You're just the people to help.
That's right.
Yeah.
DVD pick.
North Dallas 40. I have no idea if it's available on DVD right now.
But it is streaming on Netflix.
But it's streaming on Netflix, and yeah. It just started streaming on Netflix this week. Mm-hmm. 1979, 1980, what year did that come out?
I think 79, I think.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is a...
Mac Davis.
Yes, and Nick Nolte.
And Nick Nolte play football players who play for the Dallas something or others.
North Dallas.
The North Dallas whatevers. The North Dallas Irregulars.
Yes, there you go.
And they're a pro football team, and they've got a very famous cheerleading squad. And they are not the Cowboys.
No.
They are a different...
Heavens, no.
They are not at all like the Cowboys. And they were not at all based on a novel that was not at all about the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Even though it was all about the Dallas
Cowboys. It is a rare...
That is the dirtiest book, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Somehow we had a copy of it in my house when I was a kid, and boy, did I reread those dirty parts.
It is, one of the rare sports movies that is an indictment of professional sports, and talks about how badly the teams treat the players and how the players are just cogs in the machine to make money for the owners. And, but it's also, it's funny and it is ribald and it's really well acted and... it makes a good double feature with Semi-Tough, which I think might also be streaming, but I'm not sure, with Burt Reynolds and Chris Christopherson, which is a much jokier movie about pro football. But has
North Dallas 40 is pretty jokey. Dallas 40 is really funny.
Yeah.
My father took me to see this movie, this R-rated movie, when at the Roswell Park Twin Cinemas when it came out. I think my little brother was with us, too.
Wow.
He was like... 11, 12, I don't know how old he was. I was like 14 and 15 maybe. And, you know, he'd come pick us up once a week. We'd go see a movie. He would mostly sleep. I don't think he slept through this one, though, because it was about football.
Right.
But he frequently napped during the movies we would go see. And I remember that was the very first movie, the very first moment of my entire life that I learned about the existence of dildos.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Because Mac Davis talks about one. About him in one scene.
So it wasn't from the first nudie musical, then?
No, I never saw the first nudie musical. It came out when I was much younger.
Gotcha.
But I didn't get a chance to see that.
There's a dancing dildos number in that film.
I remember when the first nudie musical came out because... What's-her-face from Laverne and Shirley was in it.
Cindy Williams.
And she was on the Mike Douglas show talking about it. And I thought, I'll never get to watch this. This is like a rated X movie. And
it is.
And I was, I don't know, 10.
It is as relatively tame as you would imagine that a movie with the word nudie in the title is. But it's actually kind of charming. And
anyway.
Diana Canova is in it.
North Dallas 40 is so great and so, like, raunchy and funny, but it's also a downer.
Yeah.
And
actually, it'd be a good double bill with Slapshot now that I think about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So do watch it because it's terrific.
My pick this week is also a streaming pick. It is available for rent or purchase on Amazon. I don't know that the DVD is in print. It's a film called Shopping, which came out in 1995, premiered at Sundance. I remember screening it at the USA Film Festival in Dallas. The director came in with it, a very charming young Brit. This was a really exciting debut film from him. We thought, you know, this guy's going places. He's going to make interesting and provocative films. And that young man was Paul W.S. Anderson.
Hooray!
Who went on to make really crappy movies like Pompeii.
That is correct.
So, oh well. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about how when I went to Sundance in 95, there was Shopping, which everybody was raving about. And I remember going up to an actor at the award ceremony after party and telling him that I thought his performance in The House of Yes was some of the best work I had seen at the festival that year. And that man's name was Freddie Prinze Jr. So you just never know.
People start off promising.
Yeah.
And then they don't give you much more after that.
They do not live up to
it. Or they start off terribly and then they get better. Yeah,
that happens too.
There are so many ways of living in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of them.
The graphs go in so many directions. Read us some letters.
Dear David Alonzo, I loved the Apple commentary.
Oh, yay. Everybody else needs to buy it.
It was fun to watch it again and be reminded of just how nuts it is. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned a few movies that would be a good double feature with it. Now, see, that was you. You are really fond of programming the imaginary rep house in your head. It's a thing that you do a lot.
Can't help it.
You do it in daily conversation. You do it while we're watching just any old thing on television. You do it. Like, it's a thing that I've come to learn is one of your tics.
Apparently
you did it during the Apple commentary.
Yes, I did. I wish I had a rep house.
I don't remember that you did it during the Apple commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you did it.
I guess so.
Someday you need to own your own rep house.
Clearly.
So that you can just program it all the ways that you like to do that.
Yes.
And you'll give me one day a week to make sure that good films are being played.
One day a month, maybe.
No, once a week. I'll take Wednesday. I'll take Wednesday, low turnout day,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't matter.
Oh, so I would be picking out nothing but garbage, but your choices would all be good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, bite me.
You
get 0 days ever now for that.
Back to the letter.
Please.
I thought it was interesting that you mentioned a few movies that would be good double features with it. Can't Stop the Music, mm-hmm. etc., which made me think of some others. Years ago, I saw a double feature of Bringing Up Baby and My Favorite Wife at the New Beverly. Both great movies, but unfortunately they showed Bringing Up Baby first. So Wife seemed slow and not so funny.
Hmm.
There was a similar experience at LACMA where they showed Platinum Blonde and Bombshell. I wonder if Alonzo has had experience with this as a programmer. Back when you were the boss of the USA Film Festival in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and you would program things. And then he says, anyway, here are four movies that would make interesting double features with the Apple.
Wait, I want to answer his question first. I will say that the thing about double features, you have to be careful about things that look good on paper, but that aren't actually two movies that people would want to sit through.
Right.
For example, the last year I was at the film festival, our opening night film was Dash and Lily, which was a movie that Kathy Bates directed. It was a biopic about the relationship between Lillian Hellman and Dashiell Hammett.
Yeah.
And also that year we were honoring director Arthur Penn.
Yes.
And I screened a handful of his films.
Yes.
And one of the local rags complained that we weren't showing The Chase, which was written by Lillian Hellman and directed by Arthur Penn. And
right.
What an obvious choice, and meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
One problem, The Chase is a terrible movie,
right.
and no one would come and want to sit through it.
Yes.
So while, yes, on paper, the idea of putting that chocolate and that peanut butter together would seem like of course, logical, da-da-da. Ultimately, you have
to... Da-da-da or meow, meow, meow?
Meow, meow, meow. Either way.
Okay.
But ultimately,
I really just don't like it when you mix things up.
You have to come up with something that people would indeed want to sit and watch, even if, you know, it's one thing if they seem like a neat idea in theory, but there is the actual eventual logistics of will this put butts in seats. So that's just a thing. Anyway, what are his suggestions for Apple co-features?
The Wicker Man, the original.
Hmm. go on.
Boogie Nights.
Wait, does he explain why?
Oh, yeah, okay. He writes, another movie with weird religious messages and musical numbers.
Granted.
Boogie Nights, a movie with another large appendage.
Well, you could do Listomania for that.
We're referring to George Gilmore's giant penis.
Moose knuckle.
In the apple. Four, The Prophecy. More weird religion, and it makes almost as much sense as The Apple.
Wait, no, okay, not Prophecy with Talia Shire, but The Prophecy. Which one is that?
I don't know.
Like Christopher Walken?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Something called Big Gay Musical. I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's a, what is that director's name? I can't. The filmmaker who took a word out of context from my negative review and tried to pass it off as a positive review, that guy.
Casper
Andreas.
I don't know who, do I know who that is?
He is, he makes a lot of movies that play in gay film festivals but don't do much theatrically because I generally don't think they're good. I wrote a review of his film Slutty Summer for The Advocate.
That was a movie?
Yes.
There was a movie called Slutty Summer?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great.
I gave it a bad review. I had one positive thing to say about one performance. He took that one adjective out and used it in the press kit as though I had given his movie a good review. And on top of that, apparently he and his producer ganged up on our news editor at a party in New York and got all mad because, well, we thought The Advocate would give us a good review because it's a gay film.
I don't know.
It's like, yeah, that's not really how it
works. I don't know who this guy is. He's got a whole bunch of movies, though.
Yeah, he
I'm looking at, I just looked him up.
He cranks out his best.
I've never seen any of them.
His best known film is probably Violet Tendencies because What's Her Face from The Facts of Life was in it.
Mm. Well, I'll trust.
The Zaftig one.
I will trust that Mindy Cohn.
Mindy Cohn.
I will trust that you know what you are talking about. Also, I will trust. That,
I did not see Big Gay Musical, but I am not a fan of Mr. Andreas.
Huh. Anyway, so he says, I would show the Big Gay Musical first, although this is risky. I enjoyed Big Gay Musical, but I know a lot of people who have lost their will to live after viewing it. Also, since no one else is going to give Bibbs any hate, I will say that when he gets excited, his voice can get very high and screechy. Hooray! Somebody's
finally
criticizing Bibbs the way he deserves.
What a burn.
Bibbs, I hope you're taking the note on what, high and screechy when he gets excited? I haven't noticed this about him.
We all do, I'm sure. I mean, we all get high and screechy sometimes when we're excited about something.
I do. Do I? I don't know that I do. I might get.
For you, high is still medium.
I know. So, yeah, Bibbs, watch it. Come on.
Who's that letter from?
And then he finishes it up with, keep up the good work.
Okay.
Daniel. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
One more letter.
Okay.
This is a list. I'm actually sort of, our new rule, I think, is going to be we're going to keep the top 10 lists to one per show.
Okay.
Because I think when we overload people with top 10 lists, they don't want to keep listening.
It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to listen to. Someone's just, my top 10. You know, like, it's. I love the top 10 lists, but we're going to keep it one to a show.
Okay.
What I really want to encourage people to do is ask us cinema advice. We'd be like Dear Abby of going to the movies for them.
Because people need that.
What sort of advice would you? What problems do you have in your going to the movie experience, and how can we help you solve the problem? That's a good idea.
That's a dumb idea.
I think that because we have a lot of experience,
this is true.
Know a lot of things about of this situation.
True.
And what if they're going to the movies wrong? Especially if you're our stupidest listener. You don't know who you are, neither do we, but we know you're out there, and we know you're probably doing everything wrong.
Statistically speaking,
one of you is the one. So you have to have questions.
Try to write them.
We can help.
I think even our dumbest listener is pretty darn bright.
Maybe. Hi, Alonzo and Dave. Around last year, I sent you my top 10 list and was 100% knifed out of pity because I commuted hundreds of miles a week to help my 97-year-old grandmother recover from a fall. I remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was inspired to list again and go under the knife by the listener who needs a bad movie to Oscar bet with. By the listener who needs a bad movie to Oscar bet with.
Right. The other guy is going to make him watch Love Guru if he loses.
The following is my bottom 10 list.
Okay.
For it to qualify. I don't know.
For it to qualify?
For it to qualify, I decided no sequel, remakes, or Eddie Murphy movies.
AKA the low hanging fruit.
It also must be a movie that turns my eyes red and makes me bust into a preachy rant about the idiocy and the time I lost from my life. I must warn you that I do have a soft spot in my heart for bad films. I find Sleepaway Camp and Birdemic great. Now, I still haven't seen Birdemic.
Really?
Yeah. But Sleepaway Camp is the best.
Yes, we know you're a fan.
I have watched...
Birdemic is pretty crazy.
I have watched Clue and Out to Sea regularly since high school and never get bored of their dread. So this is a person who thinks Clue is a bad movie, unlike you who thinks Clue is a terrific movie.
I know what's wrong with Clue, but I don't mind.
Right.
Well, I hope this person buys our Clue commentary since she likes watching it so much.
All right, here they are, from bottom to top. From top to bottom, sorry.
Ah.
Blue Crush. It's the same boring story, but it makes the top of the list for the beautiful ocean shots.
I do like watching Kate Bosworth's face awkwardly being CG'd onto an actual surfer's head.
Like they hadn't perfected that technology yet.
Yeah.
They still haven't perfected that technology, but...
Her face sort of wiggles around.
They're better at it now than they were when Blue Crush came out.
Yes.
Yeah. Smart People. Which I have not,
oh, yawn.
I have not seen Smart People.
Dennis Quaid and Ellen Page and I forget who. I saw it. It's sort of classically yawned Sundance movie, all gray and dour.
Formula 51, which I also have not seen.
That rings a bell.
It's drugs, plaid, and I don't know that movie.
Formula 51. I remember that title. Like Ryan Reynolds is in it, or Paul Walker, or one of those guys.
Baby's Day Out.
Ugh, never saw it.
I did. I took the AIDS Services of Dallas kids to see that movie in the 90s. Crazy Beautiful.
Which I believe your title for that was Drunk Crazy, Drunk Stupid.
Drunk/Horny is what
Drunk
I,
Horny, that
is
was
what
it.
I called it. Yeah.
Formula 51 stars Sam Jackson, Robert Carlyle, and Emily Mortimer, and Ronnie Yu directed it. Don't remember it.
All right. Mouse Hunt.
Which I've never seen, but it has its champions.
I didn't hate Mouse Hunt.
Directed by the guy who went on to make all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and The Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Which
Ooh,
is
you're so, a fan.
So good.
Never
Beverly
saw
Hills
it.
Chihuahua is so good.
I spared myself, but you were into it.
I'm into Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Because there's like a gay pug in that one, right?
Oh, yeah, there is a, well, that's not why, but there is a gay pug in Beverly Hills Chihuahua. You know, it's great. Freedom Land. I don't know.
Isn't that the one with that you thought was hilarious with Julianne Moore as the like trash mom in the slums?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Prometheus. I love Prometheus.
I
love Prometheus.
Yeah, you were the one who didn't know it was part of the Alien franchise
until the very
the
alien, end.
And after the
until
credits.
The Alien showed up.
Then you're like, oh!
It took me by surprise. Well, they,
what? I didn't see that coming.
They kept it a secret from me, and I didn't know.
You would have to be in the Truman Show to not know.
I didn't know.
That was an alien. I don't know how
I
you
don't know how I didn't
how
know.
You tuned that out. I will just, never understand.
Yeah.
It's like when you ask me about Wrecking Ball or whatever that blurred lines, I'm like, I don't know. I've heard the title, but I don't know. I've never heard it.
Well, you should know Wrecking Ball.
Well, you should have known Prometheus lines. Was an Aliens prequel.
Vanilla Sky. Okay, thanks for doing what you do so well, stealing our hearts, and filling us with beautiful film knowledge. Be well, Carol Ann. Carol Ann, I have not seen a couple of the movies on this list. So I would give you the benefit of the doubt.
I don't think this was kniping. I think she was just making suggestions for the dude who has to come up with a counter for
but
the love.
But we deserve to knife it.
Oh, all right. Well, you know.
It deserves to be knifed, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, Vanilla Sky is a mess, but I don't know that I would put it on, like, torture to watch list.
I love Prometheus. Yeah. So you can only get 90% from me.
I don't really object to anything on there, so I'll say 90. We'll go 95% knife.
You're 95%. See, you're only 5% off from the pity knifing.
Yes.
Which was not a pity knifing.
And you fully earned it this time.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Oh, yeah, by the way, P.S., Grandma is doing much better.
Oh, good.
And stays alone with Life Alert's help 4 days a week by her own independent demands.
Well, all right.
So, good for Grandma.
Yes. Stuff coming up this week. Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
I'm going to be part of something called a Google Hangout.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
Well, then how are you going to do it if you don't know?
Well, I have to go down to Google headquarters and do it. Apparently, it's sort of like a chat room, but there's video involved, and people can ask us questions. It's me and a bunch of staffers from the RAP talking about the Oscars.
I love it when people sit around talking about the Oscars. Tell me how I can hear that.
I guess you go to wherever Google Hangout happens. I honestly don't know. If you go to therap.com, I'm sure you'll see a link or an article or whatever.
There sure is nothing I like more during the time leading up to the Academy Awards to listen to a lot of people
talk about
the Academy Awards. Who's going to win? Who was snubbed? Whose chances are now great? Whose have slipped? What about Cate Blanchett? Will the controversy affect her chances? I've got to know. I have to know more things about the Oscars.
When I find a link to this thing, I'll post it on our Facebook page.
Do you know what I'm doing on Oscar Sunday?
Not watching the Oscars.
Going to the opera to see Billy Budd.
Right.
And then nothing else.
Well, those of you...
I'm not even watching. It's going to be so great.
Those of you who are not Dave White can watch me on the Young Turks Network. Apparently, they did this thing on Super Bowl Sunday where they were broadcasting live, and everybody was just sort of in a room watching the game and talking about the game. And so people at home could watch them watch the game on their computer while watching the actual game on their television set.
It's a giant circle of watching.
Yes. It's all about the multi-screen experience. Well, we're going to be doing that for the Academy Awards, apparently. Christy Lemire will be out of town at Mardi Gras, but I believe that Ben Mankiewicz and Matt Atchity and I and other folks from the Young Turks will be watching the Oscars and doing live commentary as it all unfolds. So if you want something...
That sounds terrific.
If you are watching the Academy Awards with not enough clever people and want to chime some in... or whatever, I don't know. Anyway.
I can't wait to not listen to you guys do that.
Thanks for being supportive, Dave Weiss, of my endeavors. I don't care about the Oscars either. I just get asked to do this stuff, and so I have to do it.
You've got... I will say this. You have really smart, funny opinions about this thing that doesn't matter.
Thank you.
And if I cared enough... And hadn't already heard all of them just by living with you.
I've always got new ones.
I would totally tune into this.
There will totally be stuff that you have not heard from me.
But I'm going to be real high class, and I'm going to go to the opera instead.
Great,
Billy Budd.
That's it's
based on the Herman Melville novella.
Yes.
In case you didn't know,
yes,
what Billy Budd was. Uh-huh. That's what I'm going to do.
I find it fascinating that LA is having any competing events that day. Like it's good when you drive downtown, it's going to be like the Omega Man.
Next level art and music people like myself. We dance to our own tune. We do as we please.
Fine.
And
you're going to miss Idina Menzel singing "Let It Go."
Oh my God. I have to rearrange all my plans now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was happening.
I thought that might throw a wrench into your plans.
Oh, no. What am I going to do? I guess I have to give away my opera tickets now.
I guess
now.
So.
I guess I'm going to stay home and watch the Academy Awards.
And then watch me on another screen.
And then watch you on a second screen.
Mm-hmm. You're not doing any of that. Anyway, we thank you for listening as always. Check out our friends online. Go to ChristyLemire.com. Go to Rotten Tomatoes Radio on Sirius XM. Also, check out The Frank DeCaro Show and Derek and Romain. In the podcast universe, there is, of course, Fat Guys of the Movies, The Criterion Cast, Team Jack, The Schmoes Know, The B-Movies Podcast with Bibbs and Whitney.
His voice gets really screechy.
His voice gets really high and screechy when he gets excited.
Yeah.
Film Spotting, SVU, Pod Crash, The Game Night Guys, Secretly Timid, and The Lunch, on which we appeared this week with James Rocky. Do check that episode out if you have not heard it already. You can subscribe to this program for free at iTunes. And if you want to leave us a review there, that would be nifty, and it would help more people find the show.
But just a good one.
Yes.
Don't nobody bring us no bad news.
No.
All right.
You can stream this show for free at Stitcher Radio.
If you don't like us, just write a review somewhere else,
yeah.
But not on iTunes.
You can stream this show for free at Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com or on our Facebook page. You can just click on the app there that will allow you to listen to the show. And while you're on our Facebook page, give us a like, won't you? You can follow us on Twitter at LinoleumCast. You can follow Dave at DLelandWhite, and you can follow me at ADuraldi. You can check into the program at tvtag.com, which is what used to be Get Glue, and drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with your questions, comments, top 10 lists. We do have letters.
Cinema advice.
Yeah, cinema advice. We have letters in the backlog waiting to get to, so if we didn't read yours this week, it doesn't mean we didn't get it. I promise.
No, we don't have any letters in the backlog. We have lists in the backlog.
No, we have letters, too.
No, no.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
They all have no. Lists in them.
We have a whole email that is about nothing but more Bibbs complaints.
No, no, but there's a list in it.
There's also
a list in it.
Anyway, so if you send us a list, we'll get to it, we promise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to keep resending it, Julian. We have it in the backlog. I promise we will read it on the show.
You just made him feel bad about himself.
Well, I think he'd be thrilled to get the shout out, frankly. And, of course, check out our website, linoleum-knife.com, and that's where you can find out links to our stuff at other sites. Well, mine, anyway. Dave never posts his.
Sometimes I forget,
mm-hmm.
Like, all the time.
Yes. And please, if you have not already, purchase our Apple commentary.
Yeah.
PayPal, $1.99 to linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. Include your email address. You'll have a great time with it. And coming up very soon is going to be our Clue commentary, which will also be a blast.
Like, within the coming week or
yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, before the next episode posts, because, frankly, the next episode will be in March.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a busy week. Crazy things happening, but... we appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.